together to worship that name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Thanks for being here, and if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here and want you to come back and be with us, be a part of Deep Run Original Frugal Baptist Church. Before we begin worship, let's look at some announcements. We'll see what are listed in the bulletin. The ladies have canceled the January 13th quilt project. And men's prayer breakfast this morning. We had a good group, had excellent food, and I had many needs to pray about. And 2025 will be 50 years for the men's prayer breakfast. And we're excited about what God's going to do on our 50-year anniversary. You never know, do you? God's a good God. Wednesday, December 11th, 6:30 choir practice. Thursday the 12th at 10 o'clock, 8 in Bible study. And the Bill Gray cook-off is coming up. The barbecue will be for sale. You see that list. And Saturday the 14th at 11 a.m. Poinsettia money, December the 15th, gets due. You need to get that to Selena. You see it listed there. And also on the 15th at 2:30, we're going to go Christmas caroling and have a little pizza eating afterwards. If you know of any folks that we need to go and visit as we're caroling, let Beverly McLaughlin know so we can get our route planned. How about that? All right. Monday, December the 16th at 7 p.m., the Ladies' Auxiliary Christmas Party. And then on the 17th, Tuesday, 10 a.m., packed food bags at Deep Run. Johnny, do you have anything to say about that?
No, sir. We're just, I haven't had too many people say anything about being able to be there. So if you can be there, please let me know. Thank you.
All right. Well, Johnny knows you can help. December 20th on Friday, the Luminaries. See Joe up if you want to participate. December the 24th, Tuesday, the Christmas Eve service, time to be determined.
We have decided 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. So if you need to use the facilities here, see Donna, her number's listed. She keeps a schedule of that. Are there any other announcements? All right, let's begin worship.
May the light from this candle overwhelm the world.
May the light from this candle say to all that God's peace is coming. on earth as it is already is in heaven.
Friends, be not afraid. God's peace is at hand.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then we said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
Father, our hearts are filled with gladness this morning, and we gather to worship the name of Jesus. It is good to know that we serve a God who has our best interest at heart. It is good to serve a God who does great things for his people, and you certainly have for us. And we pour out our hearts in praise and worship and adoration to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's turn to 259 in our handles. We're going to sing the Mark verses of Angels from the Realm of Glory. Talking about the day of judgment is near. And this is a message that God gave to the prophet Malachi to tell the people of Israel about the coming messenger. And you know who the coming messenger is. Okay, this is from the New International Version, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. God's word says, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, he will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner, and he will be a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites. He will refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in the former years. Okay, we turn to the New Testament. And this is looking at the preaching of John the Baptist and how John the Baptist was chosen to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. The reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judah, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah. He's in the wilderness. He went into the country around Jordan, and he preached the baptism of the repentance of forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one coming in the wilderness to prepare the way for our Lord, to make straight the paths for our Lord. Every valley shall be filled, every mound and hill will be made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let me remind you to check your mailboxes over in the educational room. I see a lot of cards in there, so there's a lot of Christmas cards getting passed out. So you don't want to miss out on that. Continue to worship, we pray. On the back of your bulletin, remember those needs as you pray during the week. And I'll lift those up. Do we have any other names need to remember this morning?
Wesley Davis,
okay.
Janet Hicks is having surgery the 17th.
Okay.
And Gary Hicks having surgery on his eye the 23rd.
Gary and Janet Hicks. All right.
Rose Miller.
Jeannie Bird and Hannah Miller. Okay. Any other? All right, let's lift these and remember, let's pray for each other, our nation, leaders, and certainly thank God for all the great blessings that He gives us every day.
Approach you in silence as we each reach out with our petitions to you, Lord. Ask for your guidance, your direction, and your blessing. You have heard the names mentioned in public, and we do ask for your peace with these individuals as they continue to heal, as they go in the hospital, as their family, your loving kindness, your peace around them. We ask that you unite us all in mind and spirit as we gather this morning to praise your name, to glorify your name, to celebrate your name. God, all of our actions may they be pleasing in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 251. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 as it came upon the midnight shift.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. And as we give to you, it is read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that the Lord loves cheerful givers, that we should give from our hearts versus the reluctancies of our minds, Lord. For we all know that it's better to give than to receive. And we, Lord, we know that we shall receive if we choose to accept it, that wonderful gift of eternal life. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you and we honor you so much, Lord, more than we could ever repay you. But we love you. We thank you for being in your house today for your smokers. Heavenly precious name I pray.
Amen. Today our text comes from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. We'll read that here in a minute. Andy Williams. Anybody ever heard of Andy Williams?
Yes.
All right. Andy Williams sang a song. What was it called? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, I forgot.
Right in the bulletin, Pam. The most wonderful time of the year. And that was about Christmas. And I think Andy is exactly right. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. And the truth is that the birth of Jesus Christ makes it so. There's not ever been another event in human history with the wonder, with the awe, with the expectation, with the hope than the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because everything that occurs all point to the most significant event in human history, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do some people focus on the wrong things during Christmas and totally miss the point of the season? Yes. But that doesn't mean that I must, and it doesn't mean that you must. Amen?
Amen.
So today I want to start a series, I want to call it Vintage Christmas. There's something about vintage things that are this historic and authentic and meaningful. The vintage things are just sometimes the best things. And many times vintage things get overlooked and lose their meaning. And we certainly don't want Christmas to do that, do we? So we want to think about it this light. We want to focus on how our Christmas celebration this year can be historic. We want to look at it historically, and we want to know authentically what Christmas really is and the meaning of what Christmas really is. And I think in doing so, we can take actions to better prepare our hearts and our homes and our families, our communities, our friends, to experience the fullness of this most wonderful time of the year. I think many times we can get caught up in the season and we don't celebrate Christmas as the most wonderful time of the year. And that's sad, because I agree with Andy, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Today's reading comes from the book of Isaiah, and we're going to start with 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Those two words, come down. That the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did something awesome that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right. You remember your ways, but when we continue to sin against them, there we go again. When we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us has become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are your people. In this passage, there are three attitudes we need to adopt during the Christmas season. And not just the Christmas season, but year-round. First of all, we see in this scripture an attitude of dependence. This passage begins with Isaiah saying, rent the heavens and come down. It ends with him saying, look upon us, for we are your people. In Isaiah's words, you can see a spirit of dependence. He's looking heavenward. He's calling out to God. He's saying, God, please come down. We need you. We cannot make it on our own. Look what he says in verse 6. All of us has become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Isaiah is saying that the truth is we cannot govern ourselves. And we cannot manage our own lives. There's a reality show that's called, I think it's called Intervention. Anybody ever heard of that? All right, two people. All right. It's a show, it's a reality show. It's a real life deal. It's about people who have lost control of their lives to all kinds of addictions to the point they've actually lost control of who they are. They can't function, they can't hold a job. In most cases, they turn on their families or anyone who would try to help them. And the goal of this is, the goal of those who love them is to set up an intervention with professionals and people who love them, to set up an intervention on their behalf to help them overcome the demons that have destroyed their lives. Listen, church, Isaiah is saying here that we need an intervention. He's saying, we need an intervention, God. We need an intervention from you. God, we need for you to step in. God, we need for you to show up. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, in our society, this is true. We need an intervention from God in our political process. We need an intervention from God in our educational system, in our churches, in our families, and most significantly, we need an intervention from God in each of our individual lives. God has created us in His image, and we've made a mockery of it. We've made a mess of the life that God created in our lives when He created us to shine His glory throughout all the earth. Each of us needs an intervention from God. We need His power because our power alone isn't enough. We need His righteousness because our righteousness isn't enough. We must admit we're powerless over, you name it, sin, addiction, temptations, the things that cause us from being all that God has created us to be. God sent His Son to the world to die on a cross for our sins because we needed it. God sent His Son to show us the way to live because we needed it. God sent His Spirit to dwell within us and give us power because we needed it. You think God would put Jesus through all He went through if we didn't need it? That's what the Christmas story is about. God came down. Just as Isaiah called to God and said, God, come down. God did. He entered the world. He rent the heavens, so to speak. And He came down and intervened in the human story. He did this to give us what we cannot give ourselves. Forgiveness and salvation and peace and hope and power and life. We're helpless without Him. And so we need to approach this season with an attitude of dependence. You know what dependence means? Dependence. All right. The second thing we see in this passage, the second attitude is an attitude of expectation. What did you expect out of life when you got up this morning? You only need to look at the headlines to know that we as a society don't have what it takes to manage our world and ourselves. And if we take an honest look at the church, we can see that those seasons where we tried to do it our way, man, what an ugly mess. And we only need to take an honest look at our personal lives to know that we're not as good as we should be. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Even though our lives are filled with bad news, even though we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that's just the premise. The full message, the good news is that even though we have sinned, we can be justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23-24. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But that's not where it ends. It goes on to say in Romans 6:23, for the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the sense of expectation in which we need to live. I mean, we understand that things are bad, but we know that God is going to make them better. I mean, we admit that we're sinful and weak, and we know that God will forgive us and God will empower us to live the life He created us to live. I mean, we acknowledge that things are falling apart all around us, and so we hang on to the hope that salvation is on its way. Healing is on its way. Restoration is on its way. A miracle is on its way. Listen to what Isaiah said in verse 4. In ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. What is Isaiah saying? He's saying people live with a sense of expectation. He's telling us to live each and every day as if something great is about to happen, because the blessings of God are on the way. Back in the 70s, Bill Gaither wrote a song. It goes like this. You might have heard it. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Huh? I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus and look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. 50 years later, I still catch myself singing it sometimes. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I've not been able to shake this relentless optimism that the Holy Spirit has put in my heart. Even when I've had to endure the desert, even while standing in the midst of a storm, and it's happened plenty of times, I've never been able to get over and let go of the idea that God is about to do something big. So when we're preparing to worship, when we're preparing to read the Word of God, when we're preparing to pray, we need to enter with an expectation that God's fixing to do something big, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
We get up in the morning, when we spend time with our families, when we worship together, I just feel like something good is going to happen. You know, this is the message of Christmas. It was the promise made by the prophets. It was revealed to the wise men. It was announced to the shepherd boys watching the flocks by night. The Magi, priests of a pagan religion, followed the star with great expectation. They just knew if they could get to where that star was leading, that something good was going to happen. Something that would change their life. Something that changes our lives as we know it. The truth is, of Christmas, no longer will religion be about trying for man trying to reach up to God. The truth of Christmas is, from now on, it is God ripping open the heavens and reaching down to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. I encourage you to approach this season and approach every day with an attitude of expectation, because God is ready to do great things in your life. The third attitude that we see before we get to number three, you know what expectation means?
Expectation.
Expectation. All right. The third attitude we see is an attitude of submission. Now, I know that's not a real popular word. But listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said in verse 8, we're the clay, and you're the pot. Can the clay make a pot? Carter has to do it. Reminds you of another song, don't it? Have thine own way. Isaiah is talking about submission, surrendering yourself to God's will, putting yourself in His hands and letting Him have control of your life, just like the clay submitting itself to the potter who forms and makes it into the image of His choosing. Today, many equate submission as a sign of weakness. But the truth is, submission is a sign of wisdom. What if you don't submit to a red stoplight? It's either my plan or God's plan. You know, many times we'd rather sing, "Have my own way, Lord. Have my own way." But Solomon was wise, and he said in Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." Man can make a lot of plans and do a lot of things, but only the Lord's purpose prevails. So many times we try to do things our own way, and it's like trying to force a square peg in a round hole. You ever tried that before? Three people, all right. I mean, this is especially true at Christmas. We want Christmas to be perfect, don't we? Don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we want to be perfect. We want the house to be perfect, don't we, ladies?
Yes.
I mean, it's got to be pretty, hasn't it? It's got to be. Yeah, I know. I don't buy that. The gifts have got to be perfect, too, right? They got to be wrapped perfect. You can't trust a man to wrap gifts. They got to be perfect. Huh? I mean, we want the snow to start falling on Christmas Eve, right?
Right.
We want all the right relatives to cancel their plans with the in-laws and the other side of the family so they can come be with us. And there's probably one or two or three maybe relatives we just really hope don't show up. We want everyone to think our gift was the best gift, right?
Yes.
I mean, the truth is, at Christmas time, many people go into control mode. And you know what happens when you go into control mode? You get stressed. Huh?
Yeah.
And then everybody around you gets stressed. And the things that we get stressed about, you know what? They really have nothing to do with what God wants or desires for us. Have my own way, Lord. This year I encourage you to say, God, have your own way. Let's let Christmas be about you, God. Let's let Christmas be about what you want and not what I want. You're the potter. I'm just the clay. Make me into the image of your choosing. Make this the most wonderful time of the year. I believe this is an attitude that God can bless. And it's an attitude that He wants all of us to have, you and me. Because the truth is, you cannot resist God's will and receive God's blessing at the same time. That's why Isaiah said in verse 5, "You come to the help of those who gladly do right." Doing right is righteousness in God's eyes. Doing what God wants. "You come to the help of those who gladly do, who remember your ways." When your heart is yielded to Him and you're walking in obedience to the best of your ability, you are positioning yourself for the blessings of God. And God's got a lot of them. He's got more than we can ever think or imagine. So I encourage you to have an attitude of submission. Surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to accept His will and do His will. You know what submission means?
Submission.
You know what the key word in today's message is? Attitude. Not attitude. attitude. Christmas is a time when you want to feel a certain way, but you really can't control your feelings all the time, can you? Anybody, has anybody here mastered your feelings? However, can control your attitude. You can do that. Even when you don't feel like depending on God, you can choose to have an attitude of dependence. You can depend on God. Even when you don't feel optimistic and hopeful, when those days come, you can choose to have an attitude of expectation. Every day won't be like today. God's mercies are new every morning. Huh? Great is thy faithfulness. Even if you don't feel like submitting to the will of God, you can choose to have an attitude of submission. Well, I don't know that God has given us free will. Damn. He gives free will. He's given us the freedom to choose. And we can choose to be dependent on Him. We can choose to have an attitude of expectation, an attitude of submission. Your attitude always trumps your feelings. So when those feelings don't feel right, make the choice. Change your attitude. And so as we launch into Christmas, we're reminded to take charge of our attitude. We're reminded to let ourselves say, this is the most wonderful time of the year. Not because my way, but because of what God has done. Because God has burst the heavens open, and He's come down in the form of the Son Jesus Christ to do for us what we're not able to do for ourselves. He has performed an intervention for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word today from Isaiah. Those truths ring loud and clear. May Your Holy Spirit impress upon our hearts and our spirits those things that we need to do to make this the most wonderful time of the year and display the glory of Your people You've created in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 250 in the hymnal. We'll stand between verses 1 and 2 to the Over the Town of Bethlehem.
Check the mailboxes, and you see announcements to the list. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave?
I do.
All right. Come up here, Pam. You will stand in on the statement.
At our latest auxiliary free Thanksgiving service, I asked the people who were here to do something. And there's more of you here today, so I asked you to do something. And that thing was, we talked about our mission statement, our vision statement, and we've come up with one, and it's a good one. But we got to get started on it. So what I want to ask all of you to do is pray. Pray about our mission. If you don't know what it is, it's on the back of the bulletin. And I think I can remember it right. We're going to reach our community, we're going to disciple people, and we're going to serve all God's people. We're going to reach, we're going to disciple, and we're going to serve. How? Pray about it. Ask God to tell you what He wants you to do, what He wants all of us to do. No. Ask God what He wants to do through us. Because that's how it's going to work. Pray for the mission of this. We got one. Pray to show you how. You know, you may want to, I don't know what it is. We've gotten involved in this feeding people with the backpack buddies in the downtown church. Yours may be, let's get up a cut. I don't know what it is. Just pray and God will tell you. I promise you. He will tell us what we need to do. Please pray about that. Thank you.
Pray with expectation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We at our office, Pam, we are going to put a sign-up sheet for Experiencing God start first of the year. And just want to see who wants to sign up for it. You know, we get together, we talk, we laugh, we cry. And we talk with other Christians in our church about doing something and allowing God to work through us. And so just sign up, please, and we'll get a group together and we'll talk about what we can do to serve Christ.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Have a good week. And if you're not ready for Christmas, you better get in gear. And be gone before you know it. That's by our head. Craig, would you dismiss us, please?
Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the season of Advent. This season is about the birth of a child who came to save us. Lord, in all the hoopla and all the worship that we do, help us not to forget that you died on a cross for us to save us. So God, we give you thanks today. Bless us this week. Grant us grace in our thought, word, and deed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.